go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song together. Brother Selah, would you take us, Lord, tonight in a word of prayer? Amen. Turn with us over to page 177. And everybody stand, let's sing together, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" All right, everyone sing now. "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you second verse. "Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? On the last, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white?" Sing that chorus again. "Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white and snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it's great to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. And I pray that the Lord's given you a great day today. What a beautiful day the Lord's made for us. Amen?
Amen.
Braves won. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Amen, Pastor?
Amen.
How many is that? 11?
A lot.
A lot. Amen? We're on a roll. That's 11 in a row. Praise the Lord. And we love the Braves. This Braves country. Amen?
Sure.
And, but it is, we enjoyed a great, great day. And the Lord's been good to us. And we look forward to hearing from the Word of God tonight. Amen?
Yes.
What a great message this morning. Pastor, thank you for your faithfulness to the Word and to preach the Word with power and anointing. And we are so thankful for that. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer tonight. Please be with, remember all the prayer requests this week. We've got some folks that are going to be undergoing some tests this week. Brother David's got to go back to the doctor on Tuesday. Someone else, I think, said Dion's got an appointment on Tuesday that we need to pray about, and just a lot of things going on. We just need to lift one another up in prayer. Yes, ma'am?
Please pray for my husband and also pray for our Calvary kids. They're on the trip this week.
Yes, okay. Sure do that. Amen. Pray the Lord keep them all safe, and please just let's remember each other in prayer. Brother Larry, would you take us, Lord, tonight in word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering?
pray for Brother Randy tonight. He's going to come and sing a song for us. Brother Randy wears a lot of hats around here. We're very thankful for him. He does a tremendous job in all that he does. But you pray for him tonight as he sings. He didn't throw the clay away.
Say a lot about what goes on in my life. I never have. I'm just the kind of guy that goes to work, comes back home, does what I need to do, go see the doctor. Anything they tell you, just kind of slip it up under your vest and chalk it up to experience and keep on going on. I too this week have an appointment tomorrow. I've been wondering why for the past few couple, 3 weeks, I guess you'd say. Why I'm winded all the time. Why I can't do what I need to do. I love to sit down and play and sing. Y'all know that. It's probably better than anybody that's ever known me. I can't do it. I can't sit down. I don't have the wind to do so. And I got a test tomorrow. Nothing to do with my lungs. Nothing to do with what's going on. going on, but it has something to do with the overall situation going on in my life. And I ask you guys to remember me in prayer tomorrow. I serve a God who's able. And sign up on the screen up there today. I don't know if you paid any attention to it tonight or today. Just a simple sign, simple message. We can all read it together. Where do we need to find our strength at, folks? It ain't from the government. It ain't from the doctors. It ain't from our jobs. It ain't from our families. The only place we're going to find our strength is from our God. You know, guys, ain't none of us in here perfect. We've all made mistakes. We all stumble. We all fall on a daily basis. We may not do all these hideous sins that everybody do, but the very one sin that most of us commit on a daily basis is the sin when God tells us to go reach somebody or to talk to somebody, we say no. The very one thing, the only thing he ever asks us to do is be a light. To shine, to tell others about him. That ain't hard to do. Excuse me, pardon my English. I only went to Douglas County for 12 years. That's not hard to do. But yet that's the one thing that we struggle with the most is sharing our faith. If I can make it through this last verse one more time, I want you to stop and think about this just a moment tonight. Have you ever stumbled? Have you ever fallen? Is God still using you today? All God wants for us, all he wants for us to be are vessels of honor that he can use. Nothing more, nothing less. Think about that as I sing this last verse one more time. A vessel of honor that he can use for his honor and for his glory. He is the potter, and I am the clay, molded in his likeness. Think about that. He wants me to stay, but when I stumble and fall, and my vessel breaks, he just picks up those old pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. You see, over and over, he molds me and he makes me into his likeness. Each day, a vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. A vessel
that the Lord, whenever we mess up, he just starts over, keeps going. And I never want to stiff-neck the Lord, though. I never want to remain in rebellion, because he has a plan for that, too. But I don't want to leave this world prematurely. I want to stay on his will, stay pliable, and he's always reliable. Anyway, that kind of rhymed. That's why I said it. All right. Well, again, it's good to be here tonight. And again, this time last Sunday, I was finishing up my gator hunt and getting ready to go back to the house. But we were thinking of you while we were doing that. And not that y'all are a bunch of gators I wrestled with on Sunday, but maybe one or two of you. I'm just kidding. We love you. But anyway, glad to be here. Glad to be back tonight. I want to have you turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter number 8 this evening. And I want to bow for a word of prayer. And then I'm going to just summarize briefly what we shared this morning. And I want to finish up with a message tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. You're the potter. We're the clay. We do stumble, Lord. We do slip. Help us to always be ready to confess and get back in the yoke with you. I'm thankful for Brother Randy's heart, Lord, and singing from experience, singing from a heart of love. Lord, I just am so very thankful for our church here we have. Lord, I'm thankful and very humbled that you'd still use me, pastor here, and to preach here going on 4 years now. We want to give you our best tonight. We want to continue while the door is open. We love you. Use the message tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. This morning I asked a question, and that question was, have you ever used the phrase before, I am done? I am done. I'm just so done. And of course, we know, if we were all honest, we've used that phrase before. Some of us probably more so than not. And many times in life, we use that phrase when it comes to a ministerial job that we're getting burned out on, or a secular job we're getting burned out on, or possibly within a relationship with a good friend. Let me specify, maybe with an automobile, and I said even with a lawnmower. At times, we may just get fed up and just say, I'm done with it all. And we know that a lot of times we are having an emotional stir when we feel this way. When we say the words, I am done, it's at the height of an emotional stir. But we need to always ask ourselves this question when we get there. We may be done, but is God done? That's the question. Is God truly done with me in a particular area? Is God truly done with you at that job you're at? Is God truly done, or am I just on an emotional stir? We know that in the Bible, Jesus was through one time when he said in Matthew 26:39, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was at a place where he felt that weight of the world upon his shoulders. And the human side of Jesus had enough. But I'm glad that it went on to say, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I guess that's where we all need to get to tonight, is that nevertheless part. Ask God, is God truly through with this segment of our life? Or is it just us in an emotional stir? And if it's just an emotional stir, you've had a bad day, someone said a sly word, something caught you by surprise, let us ask God to bring us to a nevertheless scenario where we say, Lord, I'm not pleased with what's going on. Nevertheless, it's not about me. It's all about you. And so this morning we looked at We started to look at a couple different scenarios. The title of the message is, I'm Done, But Is God Done? And this morning we looked at Elijah. And when we looked at the life of Elijah, we looked at him as Elijah being done, but God not being done. And of course, we went through some things with him. We talked about Elijah's days of dedication, when he had great courage and faith, and he seen and experienced the miraculous. He had powerful praying and ultimately had a life of victory. But then that Jezebel came. I call her Jezebel. Jezebel. A lot of people just say Jezebel. Anyway, she came, and we know that Elijah was on the run. He wanted to give up, and he wanted to die. But we know that the Lord wasn't through with him yet. He still had a journey for him to go on. In verse number 7, in 1 Kings 19, don't turn there. We know that there's the phrase, arise and eat. The journey is too great for thee. So we see that he just had a low time in his ministry, a low time in life where he wanted to quit. It was that one thing, that Jezebel, that got to him. And we talked about in life that God can allow us to whoop the devil in his strength in many areas. But there's always that one thing that gets to us, that really, really drives us to our knees. And so we mentioned that, and we mentioned how that the Lord had a young man by the name of Elisha, who Elijah was to mentor. And so Elijah was to get his eyes off of himself and get his eyes on the younger ones that's coming up behind him. More specifically, Elisha. Now, that was the point this morning, to talk about when Elijah was done, but God was not. I want to change gears a little bit. And tonight I want to talk to you out of Acts chapter number 8 on this subject. When Philip wasn't done, but God was done. And so tonight there are different times where we may have an emotional stir and feel like God is done, but it may just be us. And so we looked at Elijah. But then what about those times when God is done with us? What about those areas of life where the Lord is finished with us in a certain segment? How are we to differentiate the two? Well, tonight I want to do my best to look into this a little bit and to see what we come up with. Now in Acts chapter number 8, let me mention this before we read our verse in verse 26. In Acts chapter number 8, we have the death and the burial of Stephen, the first deacon. Stephen, the Bible says in verse number 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And so we see that Stephen, he was dead. He was now being buried here. We find out that in verse number 5, that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. At this particular time, we know that there was a great persecution against the church of Jerusalem, verse 1 says. And so the gospel was actually being spread. And Philip, going down to Samaria, began to preach the gospel. So it was Stephen's completed burial, funeral service. It was the persecution taking place. All of these things at one time, Saul actually consented unto Stephen's death. We have accounted in verse number 1. And so Philip went, and Philip preached. Now I want you to notice in verse number 6 that in Samaria, while he preached, the people were in one accord or gave heed. Listen to what he says in verse number 6, Acts 8. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So we see here that God was using this man, Philip. God was using him. He was preaching, and And they all, and the Bible says, in one accord gave heed. I mean, they were getting saved there. They were giving heed to the things that Philip spake. What did he speak? Well, the Bible says in verse 5 that he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. They were giving heed to the gospel. They were saying, yes, I want to get saved. Yes, I trust Jesus as my Savior. And in one accord they were doing this. All at one time. I mean, it was an ongoing thing. And many, many were trusting the Lord. So we could say that God was blessing and saving souls here. What an amazing thing. I can't remember the last soul that got saved here. It wasn't that long ago. Well, it was Jubilee. It was Jubilee. And God used Brother Jeff to talk to the young man down here at the altar. And, I mean, what a blessing that was to the service that night. We strung out the invitation a good while, but we felt led to. And the young man came down, got saved, and announced it on the stage. And we're trying to keep in touch with him. He has another church he actually goes to. What a blessing. And then, let's see, Mari is here tonight, isn't he? Amani, I'm thinking about someone else. Amani, there's Amani. I remember the night that Amani came down and got saved. And what a blessing it was within the body of Christ to hear of a young person getting saved. And several's gotten saved since we've been here. And what a blessing that is. What excitement that bursts within the church of God, the local church, and it makes us and drives us to want to lead others to Christ. And so that's what was taking place here in Samaria when Philip was here. He was preaching, and God was blessing. Also, in verse number 7, I want you to notice that evil spirits were being cast out. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. What about that? Man, I praise the Lord every time an evil spirit gets cast out of somebody. Somebody comes in with a bad spirit, and I know this is a little different here, but any time there's a change of attitude, and any time there's a change of spirit within somebody, and you just know that God has got a hold of that person because of the change of attitude and spirit, what a blessing that is. Evil spirits were being cast out here. Those that were taken with palsies and those that were lame were healed. I mean, what if we came in here and God was just touching and people were being cured left and right? That would be a pretty amazing sight to behold. I'm pretty sure that the church would start filling up if the word got out that souls were being saved among souls, and people were being healed and the lame were walking. I mean, that's a sight to behold. I guarantee you this place would fill up. And so that's what's taking place in Philip's day. And then in verse number 8, what a wonderful verse to read. And there was great joy in that city. There was great joy because many were being saved, healed, and made right with God. And so tonight, if you were to ask me, well, Brother Justin, that would make a person want to stay somewhere, wouldn't it? Absolutely it would. Unless God was involved and had other plans. Now I want you to read in verse number 26. Follow along with me. Because all the while these things were taking place and there was great joy in Samaria. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Look in verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, a queen of the Ethiopians who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I'm going to stop right there. And so now we have, and tonight the Bible isn't specific that Philip didn't want to go. I'm just kind of reading between the lines here. But I'm sure Philip felt like, until this point, it was God's will and God's plan to stay put there in Samaria. And it was. But all of a sudden, there was a change in plans. So tonight, I want to mention a few things along this line. When Philip wasn't done, but God was. Again, there's times in life where we're done, but God's not done. And then there's those times in life when we're not done, but God is done. And so let's look at a few things tonight. Number one, in verse number 26, I see a mystery. I see a mystery. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. I say this is a mystery. Now, it's a mystery to me. It's a mystery to you. But it's no mystery to God. And so, at the end of the day, though, we do have a mystery that what's lying right on the surface at face value, how God can bless totally. I mean, listen, to win souls is the Great Commission. And so for God to bless totally and for God to have unclean spirits, evil spirits come out of people, for people to be healed and there to be great joy in that city, for God to tell the man that's being used like that to leave, right on the surface, face value, to me that's a mystery. Why in the world would God do that? I mean, when a place is just getting going, why would God have a person leave? I've heard ministry stories time and time again, and I'm sure you have too, where, pastors, missionaries, other people who have been in the work of God and got a work go into a certain place, and then God just call them off somewhere else. And to me, on the outside looking in, that's a mystery. But we have to understand it's not a mystery to God. Because God has a plan and God has a purpose. And if not just ministry, but on the job, your school, if you're in school. And again, whatever facet of life you're in, if you're wondering if God is through with you or not, sometimes God is through, and He holds no explanation to us. He just wants us to go. And so we got to make sure that we're in tune with God and we have a bent ear toward God. You can't hear from God and be straddling the fence, by the way. There's some people from time to time I've heard about it, and I know you have too, in ministry, that they hardly ever come to church, and when they do, they complain. And then they say, well, Brother Justin, I just feel like God's calling us away from Calvary. Hasn't happened here. I'm just using it for an example. And so you ask them, well, have you been in your Bible? Well, have you been praying? Well, when's the last time you've been to church? Well, and yet they claim that God has spoke to them and told them to change churches. The way that God speaks to us, church, is through the Bible. And is through the Holy Spirit impressions upon our hearts and our minds. And they go hand in hand. And so tonight it's baffling at the people who claim that God tells them to go somewhere and they haven't even spent time with God. And so we have to make sure that we're in tune with the Lord. We have to make sure that we're in step with Him. Not being perfect, but being confessed, up to date, being repented in heart, making our way toward Jesus the best we can. He knows how to speak to us even when we're not perfect. So we see a mystery here. Doesn't make sense to us, makes perfect sense to God. And we know in the Bible that whatever God does doesn't always make sense. We know that. We're not going to go back and rehash everything in the Old Testament till now. We know about, of course, we know about Naaman. I like using Naaman the leper as he went down he was told by the prophet to go down to the river Jordan and dip himself seven times. And then on the seventh time, he would be made whole. What would have happened if he quit at six? You know, it didn't make sense, but that's what the man of God said, and he did it, and he was made whole. And so many times the mysteries of God's word and the mysteries that take place in the lives of Bible characters doesn't always make sense. Let me mention a second thing. Not only do I see a mystery here, he did not question. You can't find anywhere in this verse or following verses or previous verses where Philip questioned. Philip just went. And so we see Philip's obedience. Philip may not have been ready to go, and God may have been blessing where Philip was at, but it was time for Philip to go, and Philip went. And so he didn't question. Philip just went. And I believe, and I'm of the firm persuasion, that Philip had a great understanding of God's power and God's sovereignty. He didn't question it. He knew God must have had a plan in order for the Lord to speak to him in the middle of a revival, basically, and say, Philip, I want you to go this way. Philip, he obeyed God. He obeyed God because he had an understanding of God's sovereign plan. He had an understanding of God's power. Let me say this. I alluded to it just a moment ago, but I'll say it again, that Philip had positioned himself in Samaria so that he could hear the Spirit's call. Think about the commotion going on there in Samaria. People being saved, demons being cast out, the lame being healed. And not saying this is the case, but there may have been some people starting to flock to Philip. Oh, Philip is an amazing preacher. Philip is this amazing man of God, and look what he did. And I'm sure Philip had to correct them time and time again. But oh, Philip, he is just this amazing miracle worker, and Philip is just awesome and amazing. All these people flocking to Philip. Many people couldn't handle that kind of commotion spiritually. But yet Philip was such a man where he still had an ear toward God in the middle of that revival. A lot of people's egos, a lot of preachers' egos would have failed at this particular time because of what was taking place in Samaria. And so with Philip, it wasn't about ego. It wasn't about popularity. It wasn't about him and his name being mentioned as it was Jesus and his name being mentioned. And so we see here that Philip, he just obeyed. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Verse 27 says, and he arose and went. He was a man of obedience. He was a man who believed in God's power and understood God's sovereignty, that God had a plan. Don't know if any of you here tonight may be struggling with the subject of being done with something. Maybe it's just an emotional stir you're going through, and God is not through with you wherever you're at. Or maybe God may be truly trying to get through to you and tell you, I want you somewhere else. I want you at another job. I want you at another school. I want you serving in another ministry. And the only way to really know that is if we humble ourselves, get close to God, get on our knees with a broken and contrite spirit, desiring nothing more in life to know the perfect will of God. That's the only way to know. That's the kind of man that Philip was. He wanted to know God's will. God, if you want me to stay here in this revival and keep on being used by you, I will. But God, if you want me to turn eastward and go that way, I'll go. If you want me to turn westward and go that way, I'll go. You see, as human beings, we get connected to places, don't we? We get used to routines and we get connected to places. And we don't want to move when God is ready for us to move. But I want to be like Philip. And a lot of the time, well, not a lot of the times, sometimes I'm like Elijah. But at the end of the day, I just want God's best for me and my family, as I know you want God's best for you and your family. And I want to say tonight, if it's true that He never sleeps nor slumbers, and it is true, then Jesus is on the move. He's doing something. And I don't want to be one who is lax about it. I don't personally want to be one who is who gets lax about the things of God and so relaxed and so accustomed to Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, that I miss what God is trying to say for this place. And I know you feel the same way about you being here and you and your personal lives. You don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss anything that God may have for me and my family, as I know you don't want to miss anything God has for you and your family. And so there's times when we're not done, but God's done. Philip wasn't done, but God was done with him. So he went over, the Bible says, south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So get this in your minds, that God moved him from a happening place to a desert place. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. On the surface, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. But yet, this man of God had a sense of God's presence and power and leadership and sovereignty, and it didn't have to make sense to him. Let me ask you a question tonight. Does everything you do in your life, where you're at in your spiritual walk, make sense? Because I think that's a good indicator of where we're at in our journey. If everything makes sense to you where you're at serving, if everything makes sense to you where you're at your job, at your school, if every relationship makes sense and there's no need to rely on Jesus, there is nothing you have to believe Him for, I have to ask myself, am I in God's will? Because according to the Bible, these men and women who are in the hall of faith have many times been to places in their life where it didn't make sense, and yet the show still had to go on. Does everything make sense to you? And so Philip went. Let me say this. God, and this is my third point and final point, not as long as this morning. There was a mystery, there was an obedience, but then there was a task. The Lord removed Philip from a lot of people being saved and a lot going on over here to one person. Look in verse number 28. We'll read 27 again, then 28. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to worship, or I come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. You see how the Lord gave instruction after Philip went? Well, the Lord could have told him originally, Philip, I have a man over here, and he's going to be in his chariot. He's going to need help with the scriptures. Could you please go do that? Or could you go do that? No, he reveals his will one step at a time. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Verse number 30, and Philip ran thither to him. He ran toward him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? I believe this is where it made sense to Philip, verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? What a blessed moment it is in life when you've trusted and believed God for something and things begin to reveal themselves. It doesn't always happen, I don't guess. I still have unanswered questions about things in life, but when things begin to unravel and you begin to see something begin to happen, how that it just it confirms you following God from where you came from. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Philip said, oh yeah, this is it. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And I'm so glad that this eunuch asked that, because this is where you divide the Church of Christ and the Baptist, which is what we believe. He could have said, well, nothing hinders you to be baptized. Let's just all go down to the water and we'll do it at one time, which would indicate water regeneration. The Church of Christ believed that it's getting baptized in water is what saves you. It always says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And we'll stop there in verse number 39. I just want to back up right quick and reiterate what I said in verse 36. He's asked the question, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Pretty sure we all know what baptism is. Baptism is a public declaration of an inward commitment to Christ. We get baptized. We follow through with water baptism, portraying and sharing with the world that we are saved. We have trusted Jesus as our Savior. Our old man has died. We are walking in newness of life. And because of that, we get baptized. The water is symbolic to a liquid grave, basically. A liquid grave. And so when we go under the water, it's picturing our death. And when we come up out of the water, it's picturing our newness of life. That's why we get baptized, because we have embraced Jesus' salvation. And we're telling the world we're a new creature through water baptism. Again, the Church of Christ, they want you to get baptized for salvation. Well, that's a work. And we know that we're saved by grace, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's by grace we are saved through faith. And so I'm glad he said what he said. I'm glad he asked that question, because Philip had it right. Well, first of all, eunuch, you got to believe in your heart, confess Jesus as Lord, then we will baptize you. But let me say this. The task that was given to Philip was little. Some of you already know what I'm about to say. But we know that little is much if God is in it. It doesn't matter the size of church that a pastor pastors. Doesn't matter the size or region where a missionary goes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a dollar to your name. If you are sold out for Jesus, little is much if God's in it. And so God used Philip in a great, great way. Way over here on the other side in the desert, removed him from one place, a happening place, to another. There's much more that we could labor on and bring out of this, but the conclusion of the message tonight is simply this, that Philip wasn't done, but God was. And I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know. Sometimes following the Lord, things seem mysterious. It's not really mysterious. It's just that God has a sovereign plan. Sometimes things are spelled out perfectly so we could see them. Other times it's just a faith walk. So I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know if you are at the place where you're done. You're done. You just want to walk away, but God isn't through with you. Or if you're not done, but God is through with you. That's something for you to wrestle with the Lord about. Just wanted to share those two examples today. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. Thank you, oh God, that we have these examples in your word where we can identify ourselves with Elijah, where he was ready to give up. But God, you championed him and you encouraged him to keep going on because he was a mentor to many. And Father, even these verses we read tonight in the book of Acts, how that there's times in life when things are happening and God is blessing. And even during those times, Lord, sometimes you seem fit to move us on in another direction. I can't think of any better time to leave in another direction when to leave when things are together and things are happening, as opposed to leaving when they're not. But God, I pray that you would just speak to your people, encourage hearts, give liberty during this time of invitation, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. And if you need to come pray about anything, give praise to God, anything at all, you come tonight. Feel free to come. Feel free to come. Facebook, this is your invitation as well. Continuing to sing while these are praying. Please feel free to come if you need to come. Play a little softly there, brother. As mentioned earlier, we do have it's developing into several appointments this week, people, doctor visits and such, and a lot of things going on. Of course, Miss Glenda's nephews with the heart attacks they've had, and the recent one, just a lot going on. Brother Dion, as long as I've been here, I've never seen Brother Dion come up here. Ever. He may have in the past, but whatever's on his heart is heavy. And so I'd like for us just to end the service tonight by just all that feel free about it, good about it, just to come on down. Just Let's have a time of prayer together in the altar. And if one of those prayer requests doesn't strike your heart, I know there's something in there in your life you can pray about. But do help us pray, and we'll conclude the service down here in the altar tonight. All that would, if you meet us down here, you can pray in your seat. But it's been a while since we've had a time of prayer together. And so if we can do that safely, I believe we'll end service this way tonight. A lot of things going on. A lot of people need prayer. And I just want us all to pray to make sure we have God's ear so that we can be exactly where we're supposed to be each and every day. Heavenly Father, we call out to you tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, first and foremost, I just want to thank you for being my Lord and my Savior. Lord, it's been expressed today from your people, Lord, your sheep. There's some concerns, Lord, with some appointments coming up. God, there's some situations where physically some things have happened, such as Miss Glenda's nephew, nephews. Brother Harold Dolph is not doing well tonight, Lord, and so many others, God, have told me and voiced and stressed their feelings of how things are going in their personal lives. And so, Lord, tonight's meeting at the altar isn't just for health and doctor visits. It's for everything. God, I pray that you would help me walk my Christian walk in such a way that is God-honoring to you. Lord, I want to hear your voice specifically in everything I do. I want to be like Philip in the midst of all that commotion. He still had an ear to hear. It was time to go somewhere else. Lord, in any given situation, we all have jobs. Some have children in school. And just our daily lives, we need to be able, in the midst of our world we live in with all the commotion, we need to be able to hear you say, go here, go there. Father, that's our desire tonight. Just to know your perfect will. And when we find out what it is, to throw ourselves in it, Lord. No complaints, no looking back, moving forward. Again, Lord, we pray for all of these appointments. I had Miss Tracy Reese text me this afternoon in severe pain. She couldn't be here tonight. We lift her up as well. Again, Brother Dion and his situation, the other appointments that's scheduled. I know there's a couple for Tuesday and later on this week. God, this is your church. This is your people. And Father, I pray that you would meet their needs. And Lord, again, I'm just so very thankful that we've been here going on 4 years this July. And Lord, we just want to continue loving them and being there for them. We're thankful, Lord, for this invitation to do so. We just lift up each and every life, every situation, those things that are voiced and those things that are not made known to others. Only you know what they are. Help us lean in a bit harder to everybody's life, Lord, a little more, just to know and be a support system for them. We love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. If that's all we have, just consider yourself dismissed.